Under increasing heat for the NYPD's stop and frisk practices, Police Commissioner Ray Kelly is going public with reforms to the policy. He outlined them at a hearing before a city council committee yesterday. WNYC's Elsa Chang reported some of the changes last week before they were announced, and she joins us now in the studio. Good morning, Elsa.
Good morning.
So first, just to start us off here, briefly describe what reforms Kelly says he's going to enact.
Sure. It's all a little high level in general right now, but basically Kelly is promising that precinct commanders will be questioned about their stop and frisks at weekly meetings, and executive officers of each precinct, so those are the ones who are second in command, will be expected to more closely review the individual stop and frisk reports, or UF-250s, that officers fill out after each stop. There will also be a system to flag officers who get public complaints about their stop and frisks, and Kelly's also going to revamp training and give that out to 1,500 of the newest officers on the force. But what he has not promised to do is noticeably reduce the number of stop and frisk. In fact, he said at the hearing yesterday, some residents are actually clamoring for more stops.
So I understand people may not be happy with it, but I can also assure you that I go to the communities of color, people want more.
City Council Speaker Christine Quinn suggested some of these steps back in February. Were she and other critics satisfied?
For the most part, yes, but it's a cautious yes. Quinn says she wants Kelly to do more than simply review the paperwork. And that's what a lot of criminal justice experts I talked to yesterday told me as well. That is, if Kelly is truly sincere about eliminating unlawful stops, he needs to supervise what officers are actually doing on the street, not just read what the forms say after the fact. And the reason for this is that the actual stop and frisk form on its face is really, really bare bones. On a UF-250, all an officer fills out is the date, time, and location of the stop, the name and address of the person. And then there's this list of possible justifications for the stop, such as Fitz description or furtive movements or high crime area. And then the officer just places a check mark next to one of those justifications. But those simple phrases create certain problems. For example, a lot of critics say the phrase furtive movements is so vague and subjective, you can't actually tell exactly why an officer suspected that person of criminal activity. Also, researchers have found that high crime area is checked off in a lot of precincts actually known to be low crime areas, which suggests that officers may be disingenuous at times when they're filling out these forms.
So, you know, what other ideas are critics proposing for reforming the system?
Right. So since these forms can't always show the legality of a stop, what some people say is you need monitors. You need actual people to go out and accompany each officer on the street at least a few times to see how he's conducting stops. Maybe even interview the person who has stopped. Then tell the officer if the stop was improper or if the form was filled out incorrectly. Yesterday, I talked to former Governor Elliot Spitzer, who had investigated stop and frisks when he was Attorney General of New York. And he said there also has to be a culture change within the entire NYPD. You know, this is a department that incentivizes officers to generate high numbers of arrests, summonses, and stops. And what Spitzer says is you need to recalibrate that entire culture.
What we're doing is giving people the upside of either getting awards or getting recommendations or getting overtime that come from stops and frisks, but are not bearing any downside of being criticized when they do it improperly.
But now some people in the NYPD say this is already happening. Supervising officers have told me that just in the past recent weeks, there's been a new message from the top, and that is now it's the quality of the stops that will matter, not the quantity.
And what about the patrol cops on the street? How are they reacting to these changes?
Well, it's too early to say, but here's what I've been hearing for months. They say, you know, it's really, really hard to make all these distinctions that lawyers and criminal justice advocates are always trying to make. Like furtive movements, officers say that may sound like some bogus subjective phrase, but how else do you capture that hunch you might feel when you see a guy walking down the street, one of his arms is hovering unnaturally close to his body on one side. Maybe he's trying to hide a gun. He shifts his gait when he sees you. Maybe he's ever so slightly speeding up. You know, maybe there's been a robbery in the precinct up nearby, maybe not. But what do you do in circumstances like that? That's what I hear from guys a lot. What am I supposed to do? Because you're not supposed to stop someone until you have reasonable suspicion suspicion of criminal activity. But what does that phrase actually mean on the street? The actual act of policing at the granular level takes all these gray area judgments in the moment. Sometimes it's very hard to articulate that after the fact, especially on paper.
All right. Thanks so much, Elsa.
You're welcome.
WNYC's Elsa Chang on Police Commissioner Ray Kelly's plan to reform the city's stop and frisk practices.